This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, here we go with the mailbag on this Wednesday, April 24th, 2024. And let's get to the patrons as we prioritize all of their messages, and you can join Patreon, by the way, at patreon.com/WWE podcast. So we do have some patrons, and here's the thing, guys, just as a reminder, I will get through as many as I can. Any that I don't get to will be forwarded, okay, to Anthony DeMarco, who will cover them on his Friday After Dark show. So those of you that didn't get to hear it can hear it on the After Dark portion of our show, which is exclusively for those on the SmackDown tier and above on Patreon. But I'm going to do the best I can to get through as many as I can. So here we go, and enough rambling. Let's go to Shahar as we go to a couple of messages from her. This is from last week that I missed, and you know, I'm trying to make good on all the patrons who I've missed over the last few weeks with WrestleMania and the show growing. It's difficult. So let's go. So Shahar says, as a devoted listener of the podcast, as you know, I'm listening to everything you say about Cody, and I remember you said you're open to discussion, so I want to discuss something. Basically, I can't argue with the fact that Cody is a sensitive but emotional man, but from everything you say, it seems like that's all he is, and that's not true, in my opinion. He can be an emotional crybaby. This is indeed one side of him, no doubt, but he has another side, a tough, edgy, fierce badass. This side of him comes out mostly when he cuts promos during feuds. Like recently when with The Rock and Roman, and then with Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins. So he does have that side of the man you say he lacks. It only depends on whether he is currently in a feud, on a feud or not. And another little thing. I wanted to give my prediction for Monday Night Raw and the crowning of the new Women's World Champion. So again, guys, this is before we knew Becky Lynch was going to win, but let's see what your prediction was. You're saying, since it's being held in Columbus, I thought it was Cleveland, guys, by the way. I thought it was Cleveland. They mentioned Cleveland, but it was actually Columbus, so my bad. I think that we are about to see an epic comeback of Alexa Bliss, and she'll take home the belt as a welcome back gift, just like Becky did at SummerSlam 2021, and Charlotte did the same on Friday Night SmackDown in December of 2022. Well, you obviously weren't correct, but I still like that prediction. Alexa Bliss is seemingly on her way back. You look at some of her Instagrams and stories, and it seems like she is trying to get back into some kind of physical condition that would allow her to get in the ring. And I think Alexa Bliss back would be fun, but I don't know that even if she does come back that she's going to be put directly into the women's world title picture, but we'll see. As far as Cody Rhodes goes, you know, I know that he has a bit of a fierce side of him, but in his here's the thing, it takes too much provocation to get to that point where I see that edgy, badass side of himself. We see it about 5% of the time. I'm not asking him to come out and be angry all the time, but it's a massive imbalance that we're seeing where he's this feminine, emotional, just cry. I mean, he is a crybaby, and it's not my cup of tea. That's all. That's all. But I also acknowledge that he's an amazing in-ring wrestler. He cuts decent promos. If you know, if nothing else, you know, that's just what it is. And I have nothing against him from an in-ring perspective. But it takes too much to get to that point that it takes to provoke him. Hell, he was willing to shake hands before the match with Roman. This year, willing to shake the hand of Roman Reigns before Roman said no. I mean, why is he trying to shake the hand of Roman Reigns after what he did to him at WrestleMania 39? I mean, it's rare that we see that side of him. It does kind of exist, but in order to pull it out, it's got to be, you know, it's a rarity. And I don't like that part of him where we, I mean, the 95% of him. All right. Now, this week you said that I wrote as a devoted listener of the podcast. As you know, I'm listening to everything you say about Cody. I remember you said that, I see. Got it. Okay, so you wrote last week's message to this one. Okay, so you modified it, though. And you wrote that Alexa you thought was going to make an epic comeback and win the Women's World Championship, and you were wrong because Becky Lynch won, and that actually made you excited. I guess the WWE wanted to give her a push to sign the new contract. I couldn't care less. I don't know how much more I'll get to see her with the belt. Take care. You're probably going to see a couple more runs with her with the belt. I don't anticipate this being the longest run ever with the Women's World Championship. Now, we also don't know how long Rhea Ripley's going to be out. You know, if she's out for 6 months, I mean, I think Becky Lynch is probably going to hold it until whatever time Rhea Ripley's ready to come back. I don't think that she'll drop it, and then we'll get a rematch of Rhea and Becky. It could be at SummerSlam. SummerSlam seems to be the point, as I've mentioned, seems to be that milestone that we're looking at here for a lot of potential returns and big matchups to come back or to actually take place here. Rock, CM Punk, you know, Rhea Ripley, among others. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun summer of returns. But thanks, Shahar. I appreciate you listening. And, hey, I appreciate Cody Rhodes from an in-ring perspective. He's an asset to the company. It just comes down to his babyface character's stomach churning. That's all. From my liking of what a babyface should be, and he's the most emotional, fragile emotional champion we've ever seen. And it's a turnoff for me. That's all. You know, if you like Cody Rhodes, cool. Clearly, a lot of you do. You know, it seems that we just have a collection of people that don't on this podcast, and the rest of the world is pro Cody. All right, thanks, Shahar. And let's get to Alex the French guy. And he says, where are we at here? This is, you'll be attending SmackDown, or I'm sorry, Backlash, for the first ever PLE in France. And I'd love to come on the show and do an in-person perspective. I'll tell all the listeners about the WWE in France. I'll take any advice on going to a PLE. Okay, well, first, if we can match up our time schedules, I got to figure out what our time zone differences are. And hell, I was trying to connect with people to do podcasting hosting that are in my time zone over the last several weeks, and I haven't been able to do that. It's been a really just tough last couple of weeks. But trying to coordinate our time zones, if we're able to do it, let's try to coordinate something for a review of Backlash, and that'll be a lot of fun. Now, advice for a PLE? Well, if you've been to a live event before, I mean, there's, I don't know what advice you're looking for. Have fun. I mean, I don't know your experience with going to live events. There's no advice that I can give that if you haven't been to a live event, you don't already know. Don't overspend. Here's one thing I will say. If you see merchandise, don't buy it there. Go to WWE Shop and get yourself like 50% off what they're selling it at the arena for. Okay, how about that? There's a piece of advice. Don't buy the championship belts for $4,000. Okay, they always run specials, and they specifically run specials, especially on the nights of PLEs. Store-wide, including the championship belts. So if you want a championship belt, don't get it there. Even t-shirts there are marked up by like 30%. So don't buy merch there unless it's really small stuff. So there's my one piece of advice. And enjoy yourself. You know, enjoy yourself. Take video. I think you'll have a really good time. It's poised to be a pretty good event. I know we don't have all the matches lined up yet. It doesn't seem like there's going to be any big returns. It's just, it does look a little bit underwhelming, especially when you're coming off WrestleMania and you have The Rock and you have Taker and you have John Cena showing up and you have Cody versus Roman and the big moments and the title changes. And then there's Backlash. And it's the leftovers of WrestleMania without the star power, which it seems to be right now. But you have a world title match with Jey Uso and Damian Priest that's going to be fun. It's different. It's new. You know, Becky Lynch presumably is going to defend the women's world title. You have Bayley on the other side, presumably defending the women's world title. You have the tag team championships. You have Chad Gable, who just turned heel. So, I mean, there's a lot that you can look forward to. And I think this upcoming week, we're going to get we have to get the finalized version of the card. There's a few more matches to add. So, all right, let's go to our next patron here. This is Cody. And Cody says, and again, Cody Medeiros says, thanks for the show. Love the show. Gave me a shout out. Yes, I did. And giving you another shout out, Cody. Thank you for supporting the show. I have a prediction that since Rhea is gone for now, I think Finn is going to turn on Damian Priest for the belt, because when they had to get the belts back from Cody and Jay, they didn't want to team up because something was going on between them and Rhea forced them to team up. What do you think? I didn't even think about that. And here's the thing with Finn. I have been not concerned, just surprised in how suppressed he's been in that group. Think about what Finn Balor was. At one time, a Universal Champion. Finn is really good on the mic. I think people forget how good Finn Balor can be on the microphone. We all know how good he is in the ring. And I think that it's very possible Finn Balor ends up turning on Damian. There is a lot of tension right now in the Judgment Day. A lot. Is it just a red herring going nowhere? Maybe. But it also could be leading somewhere where we are just going to get a rebirth of Finn Balor. And I wouldn't hate that at all. I think there is some symmetry there. I think I also forgot, I also think Carlito attacked Dragon Lee, because when Ray introduced the new member of the LWO, the camera showed Carlito quick and he looked pissed. Well, it could be Carlito attacking Dragon Lee. Yeah, absolutely. It could be. I mean, it feels like Carlito has been an afterthought in this group. While the fans connect with him because he's a legacy star and he's still good in the ring and he's in great shape and he's still got that cachet about him, it doesn't feel like they're focusing on him where they want to bring up the younger talent. I mean, it could be Carlito just to give Dragon Lee the rub and help establish him as a star. But yeah, I don't know who else it could be, honestly. What is it going to be? Zelina Vega? Of course not, right? So maybe that is a better solution, Cody. I think that's a better one. Also, did you see the glitch code that brings you to a website? It came on at 1957 in minutes, and I'm pumped. I don't know who it's going to be, but I'm pumped. People are already speculating that it's Bo Dallas. I don't know who else it would be. Braun Strowman? I mean, like, who else could it possibly be other than Bo Dallas in Uncle Howdy, or another version of a character we haven't seen yet that's tied to Bray Wyatt? Something like that. You know, it's also keep thinking about it, like, weird that Bray Wyatt is still gone, right? Like, every once in a while, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's just sad. You know, you're thinking, oh, man, you know, that'll be cool when Bray Wyatt returns, and then it'll hit you like he's never coming back. Sad, sad stuff. But it's got to be Bo Dallas. You know, I just, in whatever version of some dark character that he's going to introduce. And I guess you can believe that. All right. Enough puns. Let's go to, where are we going? AJ. He has two words for the Cody crybaby. Stop crying. That is all. Thank you, and keep the awesome content. Well, straight to the point, AJ. Thank you. Couldn't have said it better myself. A true scholar and a gentleman. Thank you, AJ. Yes. Stop crying. I mean, it is just so off-putting. Are we watching a daytime soap opera? I mean, sure. Yeah, wrestling is a man's soap opera in a way. But like, I'm not watching Days of Our Lives. I'm not watching The Young and Restless. For the love of God. I mean, like, I don't mind occasionally a tear or two out of emotion. This is just overload. It's soft. It's mushy. And I know for a lot of women, it appeals to women, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. The women have been more accepting of this Cody character because women are wired to be more emotional. That's all. It's not a bad thing. That, you know what the great thing is? Men are not women and women are not men. Thank God. That's why we both work together. That's why our civilization continues to thrive because we are not like one another. But when your primary audience are males 18 to 40, and that's still their key demo. Still their key demo. For me, in that demo, who is now, oh God, I'm almost 40, so I'm almost outside their key demo. It's just off-putting. It's a turnoff. It makes me feel like I've got this soft, cuddly champion that's pandering to us. He even said, you know, the worst part about this is not only he's smiling all the time, his bleach blonde hair, his dog, all that stuff. He even said the quiet part out loud a few months ago on Raw. He said, I'm here to put smiles on your faces. I'm here to make you happy, I think is what he said. What do you mean? I don't want you here to make me happy. How does that help me believe in your character? Being happy is a byproduct of the show you're watching. It shouldn't be their explicit goal. It's something that an emotion that happens if the show is good, if the character is good. But for the character to say that, it's just such an exposure of their own product. Like, what do you say? Like, it's just so gross. I mean, so I don't know. I'll leave it there because I'm going off the rails as I do with Cody. And thank you, AJ, for triggering me on it. I hope the rest of you follow suit. Thank you, or AJ. Thank you. My goodness. Okay, we got some more. Another patron, Matthew Brown. He says, I just wanted to get your thoughts on Dom and Liv. Do you think they'll have Liv take Dom away from Rhea? Also, Drew needs a world title run. He's probably the best character in the company. Every promo he cuts is phenomenal, and he's excellent in the ring. I hope that we're able to, him and WWE, we're able to figure out his contract and give him the title run he deserves. I would think so. They wouldn't be investing time in a guy that isn't under contract or won't be under contract shortly. Be foolish. However, Drew does need a proper title run. I understand it's just part of the story and part of his character right now that he gets frustrated. He never is able to just enjoy the moment. He finally gets it, but then it gets cut short. All of that, you know, I get that part of it, but also he just does need truly that moment and to enjoy it and a proper run. He really does. And it's not just for him as a person, which is, I think, very important, but also for the company. I think it would be awesome. We're seeing what the best of Drew looks like, and it's phenomenal. But as far as Dom and Liv goes, I didn't even think of that. Dom could be persuaded by Liv, and Dom is just going rogue lately, if you've noticed. Doing things without quote-unquote permission. Straying away. And I like that. A little bit of a love triangle going on with Liv, Dom, and Rhea. And Liv takes Dom away while Rhea's gone. And then Rhea comes back and attacks Liv and Dom. Ooh, you on to something, my friend. I like this. Thanks, Matt. Where are we going? Let's go to DJ Kuzmo. He says, hello, AEW Podcast World. It's DJ Kuzmo back at it again in your mailbag show. I just realized that I almost forgot. The Kabuki Warriors are still the women's tag team champions, because they haven't had a title defense in a division that does not exist for a long, long time. However, when Bianca and Jade become champions, it will just be the same repetitive no-show of a women's tag team division. What's the point of having the tag titles? Let me stop here before I go on a further rant. I mean, we've been echoing this sentiment since it was brought into existence with Bayley and Sasha Banks winning it. How many WrestleManias ago? And then there's a sign on Raw I saw that was prominent, and it said, we want more women's titles. And I'm thinking to myself, no, explain that one to me. They can't even manage the ones they have right now. You want to add more? No, absolutely not. More women's titles, while on paper would be, oh, it's about equality. The men have mid-card titles, so should the women. It doesn't work like that. Or at least it shouldn't. Because you know what you're going to do by adding more titles? You're going to devalue every title that is in existence, because more of something means that if there's more of something, that everything in that category has less value. So that's number one. Number two, they can't manage and have not been able to consistently, under Triple H or Vince, been able to manage the women's tag team division, where there's oftentimes that the tag team champions go unopposed for many, many months, or they get injured, or they drop the belts and no one cares, or they just create a faux division just before WrestleMania just to make it look like there's a tag team division when there's really not. It's ridiculous. Yeah, the women's tag team titles have been, I mean, they should do a documentary on that. They won't because it's embarrassing to them. But when Rhea and, or rather Bianca and Jade win, and they will, the only way they're losing them is when either Jade turns on Bianca or Bianca turns on Jade. That's it. Chad Gable had the most memorable night of his career, and he explained his actions as to why he attacked Sammy. I absolutely love this segment. He insulted the Alpha Academy and called them a bunch of losers. With that being said, with the seeming end of Alpha Academy before our eyes, I really hope that Chad and the Creed brothers create a new version of Alpha Academy alongside Ivy Nile. That's something I think that is a fun thought. Chad, I agree, did have a hell of a night. It is as good of a heel turn as you could have expected. Believable, confident. He came across like a total D-bag, insulting his group and then asking for their pledge of allegiance, so to speak, to him and him alone. It was awesome. But the Creed Brothers, the new version of the Alpha Academy, there definitely needs to be some kind of yin to the yang, does there not? So yeah, I mean, I like that pairing. Lastly, my friends, follow the buzzards. Keep track of these QR codes, because it seems to me that the Wyatt Six is set to debut at some point this year, but who will the six members be? DJ Kuzma signing off. See y'all in the Discord chat for SmackDown. And the final Veer Mahan report is attached to this message. So, yeah, sad. I think it's the final Veer Mahan report. My gosh. Now, and I had a feeling, DJ, you know, I warned you. You know, and not that I'm not saying, I told you so, Neener. No. It's just I had that feeling with how sparingly they were being used, the lack of consistency, the many months they weren't on TV. The writing was on the wall, and, you know, we'll see what happens here. But the Wyatt Six, it could definitely be a thing. I would say six people's a lot. It's a lot of people. I don't know if I would have that many. I know the Wyatt Six sounds cool, and it was a faction that was thrown around for months while Wyatt was still alive. I don't know if I'd do it. I'd start with Bo Dallas and then slowly bring people in. Then I'd have to also see how the roster shakes out with the draft and then make my predictions. But, all right. Let's go to Dino. And he's from Scotland. All right, so this is a long one and you're apologizing. So I don't know if apologizing in advance makes it okay or if you, I don't know. Let's see how annoyed I am by the end of this email. I mean that respectfully, Dino. Let's see what happens. All right. So this morning at 10 a.m., the Clash at the Castle Scotland and SmackDown combo tickets went on sale. I've included a picture of the price list in this email, and I've already posted it in the Discord chat. The prices you see in the picture is for one person per night. It was 175 euros, I think, right? Euro? Do you guys have the euro? So bad. I don't even know the currency you use over there. I think it's the euro. For the cheapest seats, way up at the top, at the back. Times that by two as this combo ticket, so it's only as... It's combo tickets only, so two tickets. I don't understand. Okay. One for each night and 350 euros for the cheapest combo tickets. Now, if you had a family or a family member, friend or family member that wanted to go, that's a total of 700. Crazy, right? In comparison, I see the cheapest ticket for a regular Monday Night Raw in the U.S. is only $25. I've seen people say that it's costing them over a grand per night for just a decent seat. The seats I was going to go for came to a total of 1,100 euros for both nights. For me and my dad, that was the second cheapest option. Just insane. It's safe to say I'll be watching at home, which will be kind of weird at the same time knowing the actual PLE I'm sitting watching is literally happening not far from my house. It looks like SmackDown could be affected by the football on Friday, as I mentioned in the previous email. While I was on the website, I saw that it's not possible to transfer just one ticket to somebody else, and you can only transfer your combo tickets for both nights. Therefore, SmackDown may be affected because people will be unable to sell their SmackDown tickets and stay at home and watch the team, national team, play the opening game of the Euro 2024. And yes, it's football, i.e. soccer. Yeah, to you guys, just to clear that up, and you had no idea which one I got a laugh out of you. Again, when I hear football or whatever, like I'm like, you know, soccer. To the United States, it's soccer, which is like, you know, in our top five sports, as I've said, is like number five. Again, there's like almost no soccer fans here. Like the only time we care, I think I told this to you too, but is when the FIFA Cup, the World Cup comes around, that all of a sudden everyone becomes a U.S. patriot, a patriot, and they're wearing, you know, United States, you know, the American flag and all that. Like, everyone just pretends to be soccer fans when the FIFA World Cup is here and if the United States advances and all that kind of stuff. Other than that, outside of those every 4 years or whatever it is, no one gives a damn about soccer here at all. It's about football, baseball, basketball. Pretty much. When I say football, I mean like the actual, like football, throw the football, you know, not soccer. But yeah, football is number one. I'd say baseball is number two. College basketball is big here too, obviously, with March Madness. But anyway, I don't want to get into U.S. culture here. Let's continue. Where are we at here? So the Euro 2024 is Europe's version of the World Cup. In Africa, they have the Africa Cup of Nations, or in Asia, the Asian Cup, and the FIFA World Cup being where teams from every continent compete in the biggest international tournament, which your country is hosting in 2026. Oh, is it really? I had no clue. Sure. I mean, I believe you. Okay. A quick education class for you there. No, I appreciate it, because I have no clue about soccer. And when I say there's no soccer fans here, like, I'm being a bit, you know, a bit broad in that generalization. I know I'm painting everyone with the same brush here, but I mean, like, it is hard pressed to find somebody here. Like, if you just went up to somebody random on the street and said, you know, are you a soccer fan? They'd either laugh at you, or you might get one out of 20 or one out of 50 that say, yeah, I love soccer. Maybe, you know, maybe that's overdone. Probably like one out of 100. More I think about it, I'm serious. But if we're hosting it in 2026, I mean, to you, that'd be like a big deal. To me and most people in the U.S., it's kind of like, meh, cool, I guess, right? Whatever. Sure. I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, you'll see excitement and fake excitement from the United States fans because it's here, and then 5 seconds later, they won't care at all. No one will watch. The United States soccer team does not exist unless they do well. And then everyone's on the bandwagon pretending to care. And then they immediately erase it from their memories when they lose. So there might be some empty seats at SmackDown. One last thing. I'm pretty sure Triple H said something along the lines of WWE remaining affordable for everyone to go. Wherever they go, his WrestleMania press conference. So if that's the case, what the hell? $175 is definitely not affordable to everyone, and we're supposed to be in the middle of a cost-saving crisis over here. What cost of living crisis? It's basically just a case of who has the biggest D in financial terms. A D-waving fest, if you will rant over. Sorry for the long email. That's all for this week, due to my long rant and being conscious of time. So, okay. Now, that is a lot of money. Now, if the SmackDown tickets here are $25 and yours are, what, $175 for the cheapest seats? Again, it's not apples to apples, right? So, like, 175 euros is how many United States dollars? You know, like, I'd have to do some quick calculations on that. And I just did here with the magic of audio editing. So, okay, this is even worse than I thought. okay, so here's the equivalency of 175 euros is 187 US dollars. Oh, I thought you guys were like Canadian currency, where it's like 175 would be like $100 to us or something. In fact, you have a stronger currency than we do, because in order to trade one of your euros, I'd have to give you a dollar and 7 cents of the US dollar. So you actually have a stronger currency. Now, I'm thinking the reason that it's more expensive is that it's costing WWE a lot more money to travel overseas. You know, they're not just trying to gouge you to gouge you. I mean, they're trying to make money, of course. They're a for-profit organization. Making money isn't the worst thing in the world. That's what they should do. But 175 and then $350, which is like probably like, what, nearly $400 here? Oh, my God. And that's for crappy seats. See, that's the weird part. If you at least had lower level decent seats, like, okay. But my God. Now, I haven't been to a PLE in quite a while, but I don't think even the cheapest seats for a PLE, even for WrestleMania, I think you could have got tickets under $100 if you had the crappiest seats, which, yeah, I wouldn't recommend. But that's really bad. Again, I would think that it's WWE passing the cost of going to France on to you guys and knowing that the fans are passionate and they don't visit there often. So they're hoping that a lot of fans go because they know they're not going to get another chance. So they're just going to suck it up, pay the money and deal with it. And I don't know if it'll be a sellout, but it'll certainly be thousands of fans there, even though it's really expensive. And as you said, there's a Euro 2024 soccer tournament of sorts going on, or I'm sorry, football, as you call it, soccer. I keep saying soccer tournament going on there. They have a couple of big detrimental factors that I think may affect their sold out streak that they have been very forthright in sharing with the fans. But all right, Dino, well, enjoy it from your home, but don't feel bad. It's a lot of money. And to be fair, looking at the card, it looks kind of just like a bigger SmackDown. It doesn't look like anything earth shattering. You're not going to get The Rock. You're not going to get Austin. You're not going to get Taker. You're not going to get John Cena, most likely. You know, Seth Rollins is on the shelf. He's injured. He'll be slated to come back later in the summer. You know, Rhea Ripley is not champion anymore. She's injured. I mean, a lot of major injuries and star power gone. So I really wouldn't feel that bad. Not going to say it's not going to be a good show. I'm sure it will be. But compared to WrestleMania, you're not. I don't think you'll come off the event going, "Oh man, I wish I went." You'll probably come out of the event sitting in your home, not having to deal with traffic, realizing you saved yourself a bunch of money and saying, "Hey, I'm glad, you know, I'm not sad that I didn't make it there." You know, it doesn't come along often, but you'll probably wish you stayed home if you went, just because of the money, time, frustration it takes to get there. You know? All right, let's go to Freeman. He says, "Hi, Matt. Wow, Raw was stacked. One of the best shows of the year. Arguably better than the Rumble was. They really want to make an impact with this new era stuff, but I wonder how sustainable it is before it settles down into a routine again. I'm all about heel Chad as a drill sergeant for Alpha Academy, a la Full Metal Jacket." I don't know if they're going to settle down. There will become a routine, and it is only... it's inevitable that the product flattens a bit. It's impossible to keep it on an upward trajectory. As you said, the sustainability of that upward trajectory is very difficult to sustain. You just can't. You have to have a plateau period. And that's normal. I mean, if we see it or feel it, it's not the best time to be, you know, it's not engaging, it's not riveting television, but it's also normal. Okay, so we have to realize that as wrestling fans, that the product will flatten a bit. Because that's what this industry does, along with a lot of others. But yeah, Chad Gable, heel Chad is awesome. Moving on, I've done the deep dive into these QR codes that keep flashing, and I'm trying to interpret them as well as what the community feels they are about. Not everyone has the time for this, so I've summarized as follows. I originally tried to explain all the clues, but it's far too long, so here are the takeaways. There will be a faction debut at Backlash. The faction will be a continuation of the Wyatt Six and contain five members and refer to Bray Wyatt as being the sixth. The members of the faction will be Uncle Howdy, Joe Gacy, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and two unknowns. Although some people believe they will be Dexter Lumis and Eric Rowan. Most of their imagery involves crows and remembering who you used to be, meaning it's likely going to be very cult-themed, going back to the original roots. My personal take is there's going to be a lot of imagery of nuns. Sister Abigail will be the leader this time. Information is sparse, and most of this could be wrong. Some of it even contradicts itself, but all signs point to Backlash for the reveal. True, Freeman. You know, I just criticize that the Wyatt Six has too many people, and ultimately I think it will have too many. I mean, I think the LWO has too many. I like the Final Testament, but if they're not going to use the people that they have, then there's too many there. Factions to me are 3 to 4 people. Not 5 to 6 starts to get overcrowded, but I do like your members. Uncle Howdy, which is Bo Dallas, Joe Gacy, Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and then just two unknowns. I mean, it could be Dexter Lumis and Eric Rowan. Could be. Whatever. I mean, I've heard Braun Strowman. I would not put Braun Strowman in this. But thank you for decoding it. And Backlash does seem like a perfect platform to debut a group like that. That is ultimately going to be a massive babyface group. How can it not be? Especially if it's a kind of in tribute to Bray Wyatt, continuing his legacy through this group. Hell yeah. You know, you're going to get a big time reaction. So, very good, Freeman. Thank you for doing the homework for us, doing the legwork while we all don't want to. Okay, another patron. This is Charlie, and from Milwaukee. He says the wrong woman won the belt Monday. It shouldn't have been Becky. We all know what we're going to get with her as champion. It should have been either Liv or Chelsea Green. In the case of Liv, it would have made perfect sense. The story between Liv and Rhea writes itself. In the case of Chelsea, on the other hand, I think she would have been a good placeholder champion. And let's all have a moment of silence for the end of the Veer Mahaan report. DJ, I'm so sorry for the release of your guy, Veer Mahaan. That's all for this week. Hashtag Cody sucks. Hashtag Cody sucks. Oh, hashtag Cody's dog sucks. Hashtag we want Brandi Rhodes. Okay. So I think that this is a popular opinion, or at least a strong dissenting opinion to Becky Lynch winning, is that Liv would have made more sense. I actually thought Nia Jax would have made more sense, but there was absolutely a case for Liv. Now, Chelsea, I don't think makes much sense, only because she would have been viewed as this kind of lucked into champion. She can't win a match. She's fun, and I love her character, and the fans have connected with her. But I think that would have been looked at as kind of a joke championship run that you know isn't going to last more than like a month. But Liv could have had a more significant one, and you're right. But when Triple H had took over, you know, he made one fundamental change, and that was making title changes make sense and having them be purposeful. And Triple H has done that generally. So he's not going to do something that's hot-shotting to bring it back to somebody else. They're looking to the future of, okay, whoever's going to be champion, we want them champion until Rhea Ripley comes back. And do you really want Rhea Ripley going after Chelsea Green? No. I don't think anyone would, because it wouldn't be a fun or interesting program. Becky and Rhea had their match, and Becky nearly won. Rhea obviously did to retain. But they're looking for star power, looking for the biggest match possible. And right now that wouldn't be Liv Morgan versus Rhea Ripley. It'd be Becky Lynch versus Rhea when Rhea returns. So I think the reason is they're thinking Triple H is looking long-term. Long-term. Okay, thanks, Charlie. Let's go to Hungry Pup, another patron. And I think that after this, I only see one more patron after this, and then we'll see what happens. Okay. This is, who is this? Oh, Hungry Pup. That's what I said. I'm excited for the draft. This week, I've decided to send in some predictions. I've grouped them by divisions to ease your reading. Well, thank you. And I appreciate the color coding too. Helps my eyes. Thank you. The Women's Tag Team Championship, the Kabuki Warriors stay on SmackDown, and who cares? The Men's World Tag Team Championship, A-Town Down Under, go to Raw. Raw retains DIY, the New Day. Raw gains AOP, HBK, Marty Jannetty. I mean, pretty deadly. And the Men's Tag Team Championship, Miz and R-Truth, go to SmackDown. SmackDown retains the LWO, the LDF, Street Profits, Lashley, New Catch Republic. SmackDown gains Otis, Tozawa, and the Creed Brothers. So I actually agree with the tag team champion swapping. The reason is it would be in alignment with the women's championship and for both Bayley and EO. Bayley and EO. Sorry, guys. It's so late. I literally am trying to stay awake right now. I'm not even kidding. So with Bayley and Becky, each of them have a championship that would align nicely with the tag team championship coming to their brand if they are both staying on their brand. Now, so in other words, you have the women's world champion on Raw, Becky. If she stays on Raw, you have the world tag team champions coming to Raw. Conversely, on SmackDown, with Bayley being the women's WWE champion, you have the WWE tag team champions come to SmackDown. I think that's makes sense. So good stuff. Now, you have Otis and Tozawa going to SmackDown. I think that's very possible, but I don't see Chad Gable in here yet. So I don't see them. I don't see him in your predictions. But I think there's going to be a bit of a program between Otis, Tozawa, and Chad Gable before they end up splitting. So wherever I think Tozawa and Otis go, so does Chad for the time being. So Bayley to SmackDown. SmackDown retains Dakota Kai, Jade, Bianca, and Naomi. SmackDown gains Nia Jax, who finally joins the Bloodline. Ooh. I have no problem with the woman joining the Bloodline. I really don't. And Nia Jax makes sense because she actually has a tie from actual blood tie to that group. Just nervous that when you bring a woman into a man's group, and then you guys know where I'm going with this. It's not my favorite cup of tea when you have a woman who's essentially got indefinite immunity because she's a woman who just is able to attack men a la Rhea Ripley and others. And then the men either pretend that they're going to retaliate and never do, or they just stand there with a mean face. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. So I hope that they don't do that. But Nia Jax joining the group would be a lot of fun and makes sense. It's logical. I just don't know what she would do because it seems like they're building to a tag team match of Tama Tonga and Solo versus Jimmy and Roman. Eventually, Rock will get involved, and I think he's the one pulling the strings on Tama Tonga and Solo. But we'll get there when we get there. I think we're in a fun new chapter of the Bloodline. Okay, Becky Lynch to Raw. Chelsea Green. Raw retains Chelsea, who wins Money in the Bank. Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, and Raw gains Tiffy Time and Charlotte Flair. There's a name I feel like we haven't heard in a while. Charlotte Flair. Yeah. Boy, add that to the list. Can I remember all the injuries here? Charlotte, Seth, Rhea, CM Punk. I feel like I'm missing one. There's four. But, I mean, I don't think anyone else. Now, obviously, The Rock and Roman are gone, but not because of injury. So, anyway, United States Championship. Logan Paul to SmackDown. SmackDown retains Kevin Owens. SmackDown gains Ricochet, Chad Gable, and Dirty Dom. There you go. Okay, so Chad and his group will be there, as well as Dirty Dom. And the Intercontinental Championship, Sami Zayn to Raw. Raw retains Big Bronson Reed and Jey Uso. Raw gains LA Knight. And the World Heavyweight Champion, Damian Priest, to SmackDown. SmackDown retains AJ Styles, Solo, and the Bloodline. SmackDown gains Sheamus and Finn Balor. The only problem I have with that is I don't know if they want to. I mean, maybe they do. Maybe they want to swap the belts, but that championship has been synonymous with SmackDown for such a long time. No, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I like this. Okay, Cody Rhodes to Raw. Raw retains Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, CM Punk, and Gunther, and Raw gains Randy Orton. My entire house, P.S., my entire house popped when Nia got eliminated on Monday night. Hungry pop. Well, yeah, I mean, Nia Jax is not a beloved character, but that's a compliment to her. I mean, the fact that she made it to the final three kind of tells you what they think of Nia Jax, and they're high on her, and rightfully so. Again, I don't agree with everything Nia does. I still think she has her flaws, but I still believe it would have been the better choice, but we don't know what their long-term thoughts are and plans are. So anyway, thank you, Hungry Papa. Really well done, thought through mock draft. You'll have to report back to us on what you missed and what you hit on. I think you've hit on some, but not all. I mean, if you go a clean sweep on all your predictions, I mean, there's just no way. But I appreciate it. You put a lot of time into this, and I do appreciate that. As this isn't something you just come up with in 5 minutes. All right. Let's go to the next patron. This is James. And apologies if this is a bit long. Listening for over a year and upgraded a couple months ago. Well, welcome, James. I started watching WWF WWE from the early 90s and got hooked by watching Natural Disaster Feud with the LOD, Legion of Doom. I think with the draft, they should finally split the Boar Day. Should have been split 4 to 5 years ago. Could have Woods challenge for the U.S. championship and get a push as a singles and ditch the stupidness. I mean, I've been barking up this tree for probably more than 5 years. Like, it has been, I think they debuted in 2014. I'm pretty sure. The New Day concept. Remember they were Vince McMahon came up with them as like preachers or something. You should go look at the vignettes they came up with for the New Day originally. It's hilariously bad. But then the crowd started to cheer for them because they were so damn entertaining. But I agree, it's time. And here's the good thing about it. The landscape, if you're looking for evidence of this happening, the landscape and depth of the tag team division for the men has never been better. So if the New Day go bye-bye, it's not going to hurt the tag team division one bit. Because, to be fair as well, the New Day haven't exactly been used outside of the last couple weeks consistently on Raw. They have been an afterthought. We know what the tag team division looks and feels like without them because we did it for months. So it's going to be just fine. And I would agree, there's no better time to break them up and have, honestly, Xavier Woods is very good in the ring. We know what Kofi's capable of. But I don't know if they'll do that. We would also love to see Breaker versus Zayn in a feud, and possibly Chad and the Creed brothers forming a faction to face Lashley and the Street Profits, who I still feel still need a name and their own music. Well, again, I think they came up with it. It's the Pride, right? Didn't Lashley and the Street Profits, isn't it officially the Pride? It might be. But Gable and the Creed brothers, boy, you talk about the amount of wrestling ability in that group, if it ever comes true, is collectively more than like this my state of New York. I mean, seriously, like combined, the wrestling ability of those three men. My God, if you want a classic pure wrestling match, put them together or even face one another, right? But ooh, I like that a lot. There's a lot of similarity there. But it's tough. Here's the thing. Predictions are tough right now because we don't know the lay of the land with the draft. What's your opinion on Drew's contract apparently ending in May? With Clash at the Castle being in Glasgow, he'll surely be in the main event with it a few miles from his hometown. Love the show. P.S. Glasgow was pronounced Glasgow. Oh, crap. I forgot. That's right. You did that to me last time. I keep saying Glasgow. That's wrong. It's Glasgow. Whoops. All right, so Glasgow. There we go. Okay. I think that Drew's contract has been quietly re-signed. They wouldn't put a guy on TV that has only a month left, that is getting a prominent position, and also feuding with a guy, by the way, that is not going to be able to be ready to actually compete until after Drew's contract expires. Why would they build to a match that they can't deliver on if Drew's contract was expired? They probably locked it up right before or right after WrestleMania, probably right before. I would imagine that that contract got settled before WrestleMania, or otherwise that angle at WrestleMania with Punk and Drew wouldn't have happened. So I have no concerns that Drew has already quietly re-signed. I mean, they're giving him prominent attention on Raw. The CM Punk program is going to be a lot of fun, and that's already started. And Punk isn't going to be able to be ready to compete probably until June, July. So makes sense that his contract has been extended. I don't know for how long. I don't know the details, but just based on my eyes and common sense, it seems like it is. So, okay. Let's go to, where am I going to go? Let's go to Axel, A-K-S-E-L. Okay. Do you think we'll see The Undertaker in the ring with a signature tombstone or chokeslam? Because I think he has more left in him. Yeah, he has more left in him with a chokeslam or a tombstone, sure. In an actual match, don't. No, please. No. He may think he does too. He doesn't. That ship has sailed. It sailed a long time ago. And no disrespect to Taker, but there's no need for it. I mean, who would you even put him against? And then you're risking injury. And it's just, no. I don't think that's a need. But that does also not neglect him or preclude him from coming back to deliver that chokeslam or tombstone as a one-off to on a go-home show or rather on a retro show or something. Those are always fun. Let's get to one more email and we'll wrap up the show here. Let's go to John K. He says, hi, Matt. I first wanted to start off by saying I think my favorite moment at WrestleMania was Roman trying to do the crossroads on Cody. When it failed, Roman looked at Heyman and said, this move sucks. I'm crazy thinking I could win with this. It sucks. I agree with Roman. The move sucks. I did not notice that. I don't know how I didn't. I hate the move. I hate the crossroads, and it has nothing to do with the babyface character. The move just is terrible. It is. I didn't like it when Bray Wyatt did some kind of the Sister Abigail. It's similar. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. I know it's a fun move that looks kind of cool when it's done quickly. It's not my favorite. And then it has to be applied. I think he hit like six crossroads in that match. Yeah. Speaking of Roman, my predictions for War Games. War Games? Wait. Okay, you're going out to, purposefully going out to November. Okay, wow. Let's go. Roman, Jay, Jimmy, Sammy versus Rock, Solo, Tama Tonga, and Fatu. I heard Fatu is supposed to appear on SmackDown Friday, and he probably joins Solo's. Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, Solo's bloodline. I guess if they want to do 5 versus 5, Cody will find a way to get himself involved like he always does. But I like the idea of Sammy maybe getting back into the bloodline story after a bit after his IC title run. I wouldn't hate that. It would, you know, Sammy was the best part of that group for a long period of time, and him getting back involved maybe to help Jay or help Jimmy, whatever the case, that's fine with me, just for a short brief time anyway. Also, I don't like the decision on Becky winning. I thought a heel turn a heel should have won, either Nia or Liv. I thought Liv would have been a good story, especially the way they're changing her character and her flirting with Dom is a cool side story. I just don't see the angle with Becky. Plus, what is it with baby faces lately? They won all but 2 matches at WrestleMania, and not one heel won this past Monday. I guess the new era is about giving the fans everything they want. Might as well have Jay beat Priest and LA Knight beat Logan Paul. Don't give them any ideas. But I'm actually going to come to the defense of WWE a bit, because we say we want someone to be champion, we want this, we want that, then they give it to us, and then we say, oh, you're giving it too much of it. I mean, that's what they would say, which a lot of time that's true. But WrestleMania is also traditionally the place where babyfaces overcome the heels. Whether that's been a Triple H regime or even under the Vince McMahon regime for decades, that was more often than not a babyface victory because that's what you're building towards all year. It's not a, again, it's not a hard, fast babyfaces always have to win every match at WrestleMania. No. But generally, you do want the babyfaces in bigger stories to overcome the heels because that's what you're building for. The WrestleMania is the feel-good show. But I understand your frustrations, though, John. I really do. I get it. You know, and I think things will balance out. And I did hope that I really hoped it was going to be Nia Jax who won it. I would have even accepted Liv Morgan, as I said. Becky just doesn't do it for a lot of people right now. Her reactions are still relatively strong, but nowhere near what they used to be. So we'll see what they do with her and see how the crowd continues to accept her or maybe start to reject her as champion. They got to be very careful now with Becky. So, all right. Thank you so much, John. That'll do it for me tonight, guys, with all the emails. I crammed out all the emails in an hour, but the voicemails, you know, I may try to get to them myself. But as I said at the top of the show, it may also go to Anthony DeMarco. And if we do have the email, or rather the voicemails go to Anthony, those are going to be covered on the After Dark version of the show that's available only on the SmackDown tier and above on Patreon. So get yourself signed up if you haven't already. There's a free trial available. Many of you take advantage of that. I know you do, and I would too, so I appreciate it. And you can also head on over to Apple Podcast if you want to get yourself an ad-free experience there. And I want to also give a shout-out to David Sism, who joined us on the Patreon side of things. And, you know, I think you'll enjoy your SmackDown level free trial. That'll do it for me tonight, guys. Thanks so much for joining me. Take care, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.